This is Wells Tech, episode 647, recorded on Tuesday, January 26th, 2021. Rachel and Jason, EdTech favorites. Wells Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back, everybody, to Wells Tech. This is episode 647, and we're recording it on January 26th, 2021. My name is Martin Spriggs, and this is a show about technology and ministry. Helping me do that each and every time we do it is the lovely, the talented Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Happy to be joining you yet again. 647 times. Today will go down in history as a snowy day for recording the Wells Tech podcast.
For most of us, yeah. And I don't know if it's snowing out there in Minnesota for one of our guest hosts. Rachel, got white stuff falling from the sky?
No, it's all fallen and piled up pretty high in some places.
That's right. You just get to look at it on the ground now. Yes.
Yeah, it's staying put, I hope.
That was Rachel Feld, professor at Martin Luther College out in New Ulm, Minnesota. Thank you for joining us, Rachel. Rachel joins us for our education technology focus podcast, which we do every once in a while, and we're really thankful to have her, as well as Jason Schmidt. Hey, Jason, how are you?
Hey, doing great, Martin. How about you?
Good. Tell us where you are again.
I am currently up in the Green Bay, Wisconsin area. So I am the instructional technology coach currently for Oconto Falls, which is about a half hour north of Green Bay. And I'll have to say that I am pretty sure that New Ulm has way more snow than we have. We're sitting with about 4 inches on the ground maybe from last weekend. So it's nice and dry up here by the bay.
Usually a safe bet that New Ulm has more snow than we do, I think. So, but they like it up there, right, Rachel? I mean, it just wouldn't be right without a good foot or two.
Well, I could maybe do without the snow, but it's all right. We have students back on campus, so
that's right.
I will put up with pretty much anything if we have our students back on campus. It's so nice to see their smiling faces or not see their smiles, as the case may be, and just have people on campus. It's just
they just
nice.
Started back up yesterday, right?
Yep. Okay. First day of face-to-face classes was yesterday. They all came over the weekend, and things are up and running again. It's great.
Nice.
Very good. Well, we are excited to dive into an EdTech topic, as we usually do with you guys. And this time we thought we would just kind of poll the class and ask what some of your favorite EdTech resources are. Where do you look for the best information? Maybe podcasts, blogs, Twitter feeds, who knows? We just kind of wanted to pick your brains and maybe learn some new people to follow and sites to check out. So who's got the very best one to share?
Well, Rachel was the fastest finger on getting things down in the planning document. So that just means that I get to talk first.
That sounds fair. Go for it, Jason.
Oh, thank you so much. You're so gracious, Rachel. I appreciate that. Very recently, one of the people that I've actually been following him for a really long time, but he's kind of come back into consciousness, and gotten a lot more attention recently, is John Spencer. John Spencer is an author, speaker, teacher, educator, who's been in the game for, he's probably, I don't know. I think he's like maybe two years older than I am. So, still kind of a young guy, but has enough experience kind of under him for people to actually listen to him, which is kind of fun. But he just recently came out with a book that he wrote during the month of March, basically, called Empowered at a Distance. And we've been reading that as a book study with some leaders in our district. I had a chance to actually interview him on a podcast that I did, which was a lot of fun. You know, so it was just lots of really good things about project-based learning and, you know, just student engagement and empowering kids, giving them choice and option and voice and all of those kinds of things that we know are really good for kids, but are really difficult to do in a virtual learning environment. And this is kind of one of those books to get you kind of thinking about how to do that best. So, he's got a great resource, lots of great resources on his website. And if you're kind of into that, like retro kind of nostalgic art style, he does a lot of his own illustrations and those kinds of things. So, lots of really fun stuff on there. So check him out at spencerauthor.com.
Very good. Rachel, who's at the top of your list?
Top of my list. That's a hard question. I guess I'll start with whoever I wrote down first. One of my favorite picks is Matt Miller from Ditch That Textbook. He is a former teacher, and that's all of the people that I picked they have classroom experience. And to me, that's really important because it's easy to say things are going to work in a classroom, but if you haven't actually been in a classroom with students, you're missing some key things there. So Matt Miller is he's still an educator, but a former middle school educator. He wrote the book Ditch That Textbook. That's also his blog. And he has done some really awesome things, especially recently with Google and the idea of remote learning. His blog is full of free resources, free templates, free all sorts of stuff that are, you know, click, make a copy, and you are ready to go with a variety of different tools to use in your classroom. He also, every December, does a Ditch Summit where he does a free video conference with all sorts of educators, offers YouTube videos free to watch to learn all sorts of things. So he has his hand in a lot of places. He's also started recently doing some things with Microsoft. So if you are a Microsoft school, there are some resources there too. So just so many great ideas and practical and free and easy to implement right away.
Very good. Any others that you want to mention, specific people?
Well, along with you can't really mention Matt Miller without mentioning Casey Bell. Casey Bell is from Shake Up Learning. Again, she's also a former middle school teacher. She's down in Texas, and her accent is fantastic. She and Matt do a podcast together, which is one of my, other than our podcast, one of my favorite podcasts to listen to. That is the Google Teacher podcast, full of, again, just wonderfully practical ideas. Casey's recently out with a couple of books, Blended Learning with Google and Google from A to Z. So again, just really entrenched in Google things. So if you're using Chromebooks, if you're using Google Apps in your classroom, these are definitely those two people you want to check out. And if I can just keep going, we'll come back to Jason in a minute.
I'll defer.
Yeah, don't give the floor back to him. You may not get it back.
I'll just keep it for a while. Another great Google blogger is Eric Kurtz from Control Alt Achieve. I actually had the pleasure of hearing him speak live in this. Jason, were you in that presentation when we were in Omaha?
Yeah. Actually, I got to sit down and have dinner and a couple of beers with Eric Kurtz. He's a good dude.
Yeah, he is super fun. Again, down to earth, practical, just makes sense, and has a lot of different things on his blog that I enjoy and I'm sharing with the undergrads all the time. One last googly person before I go a different direction is Alice Keeler. She is, I believe, currently teaching still in a classroom. But what she is really fantastically awesome at is coding in Google Apps. So she has really cool Google App scripts that will do things that you have always wanted to do but didn't know how to make happen. For example, for our Wells accreditation Google Sheets, I was making copies upon copies upon copies, and it was always file, make a copy, save it with a new name, file, make a copy, save it with a new name. And when you're doing that like 50 times, it gets real boring. And lo and behold, Alice Keeler had written a script that with a few copy and paste things, I could make hundreds of copies with a click. So she has a lot of different, just quick and easy, requires a little, you don't have to know how to code, but you have to know how to read and follow directions, because coding needs to be very exact. But if you can read and follow directions, she's got some really great, great stuff that just is really helpful.
Those are freebies, like available through her website or whatever?
Yeah, she does seem to now have the premium membership. I'm not quite sure what, I think those are more webinars and things. And she is also both Google and Microsoft. So if you're going either way there, but yeah, she's got a lot of templates. There are different add-ons, if you're familiar with add-ons in different Google products, and some really cool stuff that automates things that should be automated.
You like the way she thinks, it sounds like.
I do. I wish I was as smart as she was, like, and just was able to do those things for myself. But since I can't, I'm really glad she can, because she saves me a lot of time.
Very good.
And then my last person before I suppose I'll give the floor back to Jason. kidding. My last person is Dr. Catlin Tucker. And I just recently started following her blog and following her on Twitter when I was looking for resources to help our Wells classrooms with what she has actually termed concurrent learning, where there are students online and students in the face-to-face classroom at the same time. So she's the blended learning guru and has some cool books on blended learning. She's got some station rotation ideas, which when I first started reading about them, I was like, that sounds like a preschool classroom, and why would I do that in high school? But then I read more about it, and I'm like, oh, that's why you do that in high school. It makes a lot of sense, so I highly suggest reading about it. But she also talks about concurrent learning and how to help your students online succeed while you're also teaching face-to-face. So she's got some books. She's got a good blog that I enjoy following, and also a podcast that I try to listen to as much as I can. So those are my favorite people in the EdTech universe right now.
Sounds super valuable. I know my wife has struggled with that because she's got in her class always somebody, either the parents are, you know, in quarantine, so the kids are, so they're off, they're online only, or some parents just chose to do blended the whole year, where for the most part they're just all online, and then most of the kids are in the class. So that's a struggle. It's not just a little bit of an increase in workload. There's some serious work necessary to make that happen. So I'm definitely going to share that with her.
Excellent. Jason, maybe we should volley back your direction. I'm sure you have some more favorites to share.
Yeah, here, I thought we were going to be taking turns this whole time, and Rachel just kind of said, oh, hey, I've got the floor. I'm just going to keep that. That'll teach him. So
I'm glad
you were able to get a
anymore.
Cup of coffee. Right.
I'm not in first grade anymore.
She means business. That's right.
I suppose that's what happens when you start working on the hill. You're just looking down on everybody. So.
Ouch.
Thanks, Jason.
Yeah. Ouch. Oh, yeah. All right. So no, all kidding aside, you know, all of the ones that Rachel pointed out are fantastic people. Those are all people that, you know, I would follow too, you know, especially Catelyn Tucker in the times that we've been going through. She's got a lot of great resources and lots of things that people are they're definitely worth checking out. In addition to everything that she has pointed out, a place that I've been spending a lot of time recently is with Common Sense Media. So we're familiar with Common Sense Media as a place for like digital citizenship curriculum, but there are tons of resources outside of just what they have for digital citizenship. They have an entire area for families to help guide their media choices and things like that. So if there's a new movie coming out, or if there's a movie that your kids want to see, you can go in there and search for the title, and chances are they've got a review of it, and they'll tell you the kinds of things that are in that movie. You know, what are some of the things maybe you should be looking for? What are some discussion points or questions that you can ask your kids or things like that? So there's a lot of really good parenting resources in there too, along with their digital citizenship curriculum and all the stuff that goes along with that. And then they also have created, I'm going to have to look at, I'm losing it in my brain all of a sudden. But it's like, open school. It's like open. Is that what it is, Rachel? I see you nodding your head. So I think it's openschool.org or something like that, where they have all of these additional resources that, will supplement working with your kids at home. So, you know, there's curriculum, there's educational materials, there are lesson plans and resources to kind of help equalize and maybe mitigate some of that learning loss that we're seeing with kids who are either out of school for extended periods of time, or their schools are closed and virtual learning is not being very effective for them, or those kinds of things. So there's lots of really great resources. That's also at a separate site that is maintained by Common Sense Media. So they've got lots of really
wide
good
open school.
Wide open school. Thank you. Yes. Yep. I appreciate you jumping in and fixing me. And then another person that I have been following for a long time and has just some fun little tidbits comes from more of a leadership perspective. So this would be somebody that a lot of our principals would probably find some really interesting things with. It's obviously from a secular perspective. So, you know, it's not the spiritual kind of leadership that we'd be looking for. But Joe Sanfilippo is does what he calls a 1 minute walk to work. So he is the superintendent of schools in Falls Creek, Wisconsin. And he, it takes him a minute to walk to work. And during that 1 minute walk to work, he will talk about some leadership topic. So, you know, it's either taking care of your staff, or, you know, what's your impact going to be, like all of these kinds of things. It's pretty inspirational. And, you know, he's an engaging speaker. He does a nice job with that. So those are fun little tidbits that I check out and tune into about once a week is how frequently he'll put those out. So Joe Sanfilippo on the 1 minute walk to work. He's got a lot of good stuff.
That's excellent. Martin, do you have any ed tech favorites you could share?
Not necessarily ed tech, but I would take off on, you know, Jason's theme at the end there on leadership. One guy I really follow and really find useful in our work, even though we're not purely in the educational space, is Patrick Lencioni. You probably are familiar with that name. He wrote a New York Times bestseller called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And he's got a number of podcasts. One of them is a new venture he started called The Table Group. It's called At the Table. It's a podcast. He's got all kinds of other books too. But if you just search At the Table in your favorite podcast player of choice, you're going to get the podcast. So it's fairly recent. What he really talks about are just kind of core leadership topics. So whether that's on a faculty or in a business or in a church, he is Christian, so he does bring that to the table, so to speak. But he's got a really neat perspective on playing to people's strengths. You've often heard of maybe organizations using the StrengthsFinder analysis tool. He kind of has a little bit of a different flavor of that called the Working Genius. It's a little bit simpler and maybe a little bit more practical. We did it with our team and found it to be really helpful. So he's got those kinds of resources as well. His podcasts, what I really like are they're you know, usually under 30 minutes. So it's a commute into work and usually something very practical. And again, very pragmatic, very down to earth. And it seems like he's been in your organization. So if you listen to him, you think, yeah, he's looked in and he's kind of seen some of the issues we're trying to deal with and kind of put his finger on what might the solution be to correct it. So he talks about things like having the right people in the right roles, personalities, humility, getting smarter, interpersonal relationships, all the things that faculties and you know other organizations need to be mindful of. And you know, we're in the business of people, and that's really what that's playing to his strengths. So he also helps people recognize what their gifts aren't, which is one thing that I think some of the StrengthsFinder stuff doesn't do a good job of. It kind of highlights what you are good at, but not necessarily what you're not good at. And it's important to know what you're not good at so that you can find other people in the organization who are good at it and leverage their strengths. So good stuff. He's a very talented speaker, a great writer. So if you're interested in leadership type material, At the Table is a great podcast by Patrick Lencioni.
Very good. I guess I'll back clean up kind of and share my favorite EdTech resource, kind of a different spin than what you guys were focused on, specific people and specific topics and things like that. I subscribe to Smart Brief on EdTech, and just a little bit of background, Smart Briefs exist on, I think they would say, over 100 different niche kind of areas, EdTech just being one of those. But it's basically a weekday email that you receive that has a summary of news articles from a pretty broad perspective. So they're searching and finding things that are happening in EdTech that are getting reported. And typically they link to an article on the web that you can read more about it. And I think that gives you, like I said, kind of that breadth, that broad look at educational technology, and maybe it sparks new ideas or gives you some more current information on something that you're doing in your school or your school district, whatever it may be, or something about legislation that's happening, or they really can just be kind of all over the board. It could be students creating a particular app that had a big impact or something like that. So very much a variety of articles are included. They do have it organized into different categories and things. But I can tell you, I really benefit from just reading the headlines that are included each day, just to see if there's something going on that maybe needs a little bit of attention, so or further reading. And so I recommend Smart Brief on EdTech, and I'll put a link in the show notes, not just to mine, but to all of these great people and resources that folks have shared, and a way to subscribe to Smart Brief if you aren't receiving it by email.
Very nice. Obviously, one of the important things is to kind of stay in the game and follow people smarter than yourself. And I think that's what we've got, a nice list here. It's helpful to get a lot of different viewpoints even. So these are great resources and great ways to kind of stay at the top level, you know, that you can be. Obviously, there's lots of different concerns that that we all have, and I think we've got a nice list here. So thanks you guys for sharing. Shall we move on to the next segment of our show? I think we've spent a little, you know, a good 23 minutes here talking about some great resources, but time well spent. But we want to go on to our tips and or picks of the week, and we'll let our guests go first. Rachel, what have you got this week?
All right. So this week I have it's not an ed tech focused one. So sorry. But I was super excited about it because I recently got a bunch of new light fixtures in my house, and they've got those really cool Edison bulbs in them, which are like super cool looking, but I can't control them with Alexa like I could my regular Philips Hue bulbs. And we all know that I want everything in my life to be controlled by my voice because it's just cool. So I was looking for smart switches to replace the switches in the house, because if you're not going to control it at the bulb, controlling it at the switch is the next best thing. But my house doesn't have neutral wires, which is apparently a thing in electricity. I don't know. My dad said it was like important that if I don't have one, I don't have a switch with a neutral wire. So I found from a company called Lutron, their Caseta line of dimmer switches do not have neutral wires and were super duper easy to set up. Other than having to figure out which breaker was which, so I didn't electrocute myself, and calling my dad to make sure I did it right so I really didn't electrocute myself. It was a piece of cake. And took out the old switch, put in the new one, downloaded their app. There is a little hub that goes along with it. It found the switch right away. I told Alexa what I wanted it to do, and I can now control those lights with Alexa, which is just fantastic. So it has made my life easier, which is why it is my pick of the week.
And everybody with the lady in the cylinder is shaking their fists at you right now as you set it off about five times. That's not awesome. Me. I've looked at those too. Those seem reasonably priced as well. So yeah, nice. All right, Jason, what do you got?
And well, until my children move out, my smart switches are named Lily. So that's when, that's what I say. Lily, turn off the light. And then that, and she gets up and turns off the light. So we'll get there eventually. I'll catch up to you. I'll catch up to you eventually, Rachel. Okay. So my pick this week is an EdTech focus. So one tool that my teachers have been using pretty extensively since we've moved to virtual learning has been Edpuzzle. So Edpuzzle is a platform where you can take videos from YouTube or a bunch of different other sources. You can upload them into their service as well. And then as the video is playing, you can have it stop and ask a question or keep students from scrubbing forward and those kinds of things. So it works really well for some of those asynchronous virtual lessons when you're putting them together. But the problem is if you're on a free account, you are limited to 10 active videos at once. So if you get to that 10 active videos, you have to delete one before you can make another one. If you subscribe to them, however, you can make an unlimited number of these. The subscription is quite costly. I think it's something like $20 a month for a teacher, not per year, per month. So it's quite pricey on an individual basis. They want you to purchase it as a district subscription. However, if you are a Google school, you can get an Edpuzzle Pro school license for free. That is right, for no cost to you until July of 2021. So for the remainder of this school year, you can get Edpuzzle Pro for free as a thank you to, and it's in a collaboration with Google. So this is one of those tools that I signed all of my schools up for. It worked perfectly. It's not a scam, I promise. It actually does work. And you know, I've got teachers in there now who are making as many lessons as they want with Edpuzzle, and we have that access until the end of the school year. The other part of this is if you build up a lot of materials and a lot of resources in there, and then you get to July and your subscription lapses, your account stays active. So you still have access to all of that stuff. You just can't create new things. So if you're really good at planning ahead and you want to get stuff done for the rest of your life in the next 6 months, that would be a possibility for somebody who's really industrious. So check out the link in the show notes to get a free subscription to Edpuzzle Pro School until July of 2021. And that's my pick.
What a deal. What a deal. Nice. I love that word free.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Sally, what do you got?
My turn. And this is about Google's latest acquisition, or one of them. Who knows? They probably got something new today that's later than this. This article's from December 16th of last year. And it is noting that Google acquired a company called Neverware. They take old Mac and PCs and essentially retrofit them into a Chromebook. They have a piece of software called Cloud Ready, which is basically their own version of the Chrome OS software. And the article kind of mentions that it puts them in a place to provide something similar to Linux. A lot of people will go with a lightweight version of Linux as an operating system, an old outdated machine, but having this cloud ready available gives people something that's lightweight but also consumer friendly, and it's free for Home Edition. There's no included support with that, but you can also get it for $20 annually at an education price, the licensing. Cheaper than a traditional Chromebook license. And seems like a really neat way to make use of older equipment to get those Chromebooks in the classroom if you have people willing to donate older equipment or whatever. So check out neverware.com and just know that now it's part of Google, and probably their Cloud Ready platform will begin being available more easily through Google, and you know, easy to install and turn any device, older device, into a Chromebook. So that's my pick.
Cool. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Converting those and then allowing them to be added, to the by the administrator, into the school. That's awesome. Sounds like a good deal. All right, I'm last. My pick is not ed tech related. It is health related. And one thing that I've kind of played around with ever since early December, whenever Apple came out with their Apple Fitness Plus program, which is basically guided workouts in all kinds of different areas, is kind of comparing them to other different approaches and systems. And one that I kind of found last week and have been really enjoying so far is actually one from Peloton. Probably recognize the Peloton name, and that is the bike people, the ridiculously expensive bike people. I think it's about $2,400 for a spin bike. They sell treadmills now too for equally ridiculous money, over $4,000, and then about $40 per month for the lice or the subscription to get the workout apps that go with them. What I didn't know is that Peloton has a digital app now that not just includes bike and treadmill activities, but all kinds of other classes. So there's HIIT classes, high intensity interval training. There's strength, yoga, outdoor running, stretching, boot camps, in addition to running and cycling. And they've crafted it. And when you use the app, they will reference their equipment if you're doing the running or the cycling, but there's easy ways around that. So I have a spin bike that you just adjust the tension or the resistance and then keep up with the cadence, and it works just fine. So you're really not at too much of a disadvantage if you don't have a piece of their equipment. So they're trying to keep up with Fitness Plus, which is Apple's Fitness Plus, which is $9.99 a month, I believe. Peloton's is $12.99, but they got a ton more content, a lot more instructors, and obviously they've been doing it for a lot longer. So they have hundreds and hundreds, in fact, probably thousands of cycling videos and routes and their running ones as well. Really well done. I think they're of equal quality. I like their music better. They cater to some of the old rock classics, which I tend to prefer to run or cycle to. And Apple Fitness Plus is more for the young, I sound really old, for the younger crowd. So a lot of hip hop and current music, which is okay, but I prefer the old stuff. So I'm giving this a try. And one of the neat things about this, it's an app, works on iOS, Android, works on Apple TV, Roku, Fire Stick. They've got apps for all those, but they're offering it free for 2 months. If you sign up by January 31st, So January 3, if you sign up between now and what is that, next Sunday, you can try it for 2 months, which is kind of cool. 4 weeks, 5 weeks of just free workout videos. And they do a nice job with tracking. So you can track your workouts, heart rate. It works with the Apple Watch, works with other cadence sensors if you got that on your bike, that kind of stuff. So if you're into that and want to kind of hit 2021 and get in shape, these are, I think, really well done. And actually, even paying the $12.99, that's probably cheaper than most gym memberships too. And you don't need all the equipment either. So lots of really quality workouts there. So that's Peloton, P-E-L-O-T-O-N. That's the app, sans bike or sans treadmill. You can get a good workout. So it's my pick of the week.
Good stuff. Probably time to move on then to our ministry resource for this week. And it is EdTech related. It is actually an event that Google's hosting through their Google for Education efforts. They're having a Learning with Google event. It's a global event, but you basically just tune in at the appropriate time for your area of the world and time zone. So for us folks in North America, that will be on February 17th from 2 to 3 p.m. Central. So it would kind of interfere probably with your school hours. You might need a little bit of extra time to take this in. But if you sign up, you probably can get access to the video after the event as well. That's typically the way these things work. So this is going to be Google telling you what they've done for you and what they're going to do for you. Just an hour and a half long, but it may actually give you some insight into what's coming. They may be solving some of the things that, who was it? Alice Keeler hasn't written a script for yet, and maybe they're making it happen for you somehow through Classroom or the Google Apps suite. But if you're interested, you can register and get a little calendar reminder. It's February 17th, again, starting at 2 p.m. Central. So Learning with Google event.
Very nice. I think we can move on to our community feedback segment. That's a time where we kind of pick the feedback that we've received from various different channels, various different people about technology and ministry topics, and we share them with the rest of the class. So who's talking to us this week?
Well, a couple of things to mention. First up, we often mention Wells Intersections. Mm-hmm. That's a Facebook group that's pretty active. It has about 600 members, and you can view the group even if you aren't a member of it. It's a public group, so but you certainly could request membership and add to the conversation there. One we will point out is from Susan Fink. It was from a little earlier this month, and she was asking about using a visual Bible or a video of the Bible readings, especially around the time of Lent and the Passion readings. She said, help those of us struggling baby boomers trying to catch up to technology. So she figured some people must be doing this and she wanted to learn from them. And there were some responses where people were doing this kind of thing for their passion reading or for different readings. One that I thought was particularly helpful was from Pastor Mark Parsons, a friend of Wells Tech. And he said, if you're thinking of going into the video direction, I would lean towards the Lumo Bible Project. It's available on YouTube for all four Gospels in NIV. Less dramatized than some other versions, beautifully done. So we will have a link in the show notes to the Lumo Project. If you aren't familiar, they have a YouTube channel and all the videos posted, like Pastor Parsons says, for the four Gospels. So check that out. Let's see. Next up, we heard a comment on our last show, Martin. One of the things we shared on that show was that Facebook was going to do away with likes of pages and go more to the terminology of followers. And listener Jen Bodie actually commented on our Facebook page and said, one of the biggest Facebook page changes about the new page design is it does away with likes. In a recent Facebook Live, Facebook guru Mary Smith suggests changing your page's call to action button to follow. Otherwise, the follow settings are kind of buried under the three dots menu In the top right, and they're unlikely to be found by the average Facebook user. And so I just went over to the Wells Tech page to do just that. And all it took was click add a button. And they give you a lot of things that you can add a button for, but I added a follow button. It took me about 2 seconds to do. And now we are just totally with it. We can have people follow us with an easy button. And so I would suggest you check out your church and school Facebook pages and make it easy for people to follow you, which is the new preferred terminology, and likes will be going away. So
I wonder if they're converting likes to follows. Are you losing?
I don't think you're losing, because I think if you like something, you automatically follow.
Okay.
But people can also follow without liking. And so now they're just kind of syncing that into one term.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's okay. How that works.
So following can be a little more lukewarmy versus I really like this, although I'm just keeping currently an eye on it. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Gotcha. All right. And then finally, we'll make mention of our Wells Tech Google group. That's a great group of individuals who are willing to share their knowledge and experience across all kinds of ministry and technology. I'm always floored by how much good stuff comes out of this group. If you have a question, it's a great place to start. And you can almost always guarantee you're going to get some answers and discussions around it. So our friend Ryan Rosenthal, who's out at Great Plains Lutheran High School, said, we're adding on to our building, and he was tasked with asking about their Wi-Fi system. He said, we currently have a Ruckus system in place in the school and the dorm. It was set up and then mostly left alone. So is Ruckus still a thing? Do we try to add to that system? Do we scrap it all and buy something different? You know, what are you guys doing? And boy, did that generate some really healthy discussion. I was quite impressed, like I said. And Jason, you were actually part of that discussion. Maybe you could give us an idea of how things went there.
Yeah, sure. So it's really funny. Like I've noticed on the Wells Tech listserv, if you want to get a reaction from people, ask them about Wi-Fi or ask them about streaming church services.
Right.
Like those two things just seem to really gain
strong
a reaction.
Strong feelings. Huh?
Yeah. So
that's
yeah.
Good ideas.
Yeah. The big things that, that Ryan was asking about is like, what kind of equipment does he put in? And then also how does he fund it? So the E-rate program is a federal program. It's part of the taxes that everybody pays when they pay their cell phone bill or internet bill or anything like that. That's all those extra fees that get thrown in there. And that helps to subsidize, some of these connections that schools and libraries get, to have to the internet. But there is a lot of red tape that you need to follow in order to get through those things in order to be able to access that funding. And then it also kind of depends on the level of poverty of the people that you serve and that kind of stuff. The minimum discount that you get though is 40%, which, you know, on a project this scale, that's generally worth the effort to make those things go. So the advice that I gave to Ryan is to work with somebody who has a lot of experience with the program, to help them go through that process, because, for somebody who's just coming in fresh and who's never done it, there are a lot of T's to cross and a lot of I's to dot. Goodness gracious, can I speak? And if you miss any of those, there's one really big scary box that you have to check before you submit that says something to the effect of, if I did this wrong, I'm going to go to jail or pay back everything that that is on here. So there's like, it's a personal liability for the person who fills it out. If you do everything right, it's not a big deal, but it just makes sure that you do everything correctly. And then the other part of it was, had to do with equipment. And a lot of that just kind of comes down to what's a matter of personal preference. So, you know, some people really like Aruba, some people really like Ruckus, some people really like Unify, but they all basically kind of do the same thing. You just want to be able to get computers connected. So it was a good discussion. It was a good conversation. There's a lot of really good information that got shared in that thread. So I would encourage anybody who's kind of looking at that maybe as an option, go in there and check things out, and then reach out to the group if you want to just kind of poke the bear a little bit. I just feel like every once in a while, maybe I just want to do that. Just, hey, we haven't talked about streaming church services for a little while. What's your setup look like? And just watch it blow up. So
In a good way.
Great. In a good way. That's exactly right. Yeah, it's good conversation, good contributions that people put in.
Yep. Hey Jason, circling back to that E-rate, there is a deadline coming up fairly quickly, isn't there?
Yeah, you have to file your Form 470, I think is what it is, to be able to open projects for bid. I want to say it's sometime in the middle of February. So your time is running out very quickly if you want to be able to take advantage of that money.
Well, thanks for that mini primer. That helps us at least to know a little bit about it. So we appreciate that. Appreciate all the discussion on the Wells Tech.
Yep. Awesome. We did have a voicemail this week we should probably share as well from our good friend, Alan Bunt. He, longtime listener, friend of the show, and Alan was asking about the Wells Hymnal project and some specific technologies related to MIDI. They use MIDI to play their organ on occasion. So let's play that interview and then we can follow up with that.
Hello, Wells Tech listeners. This is Alan Bunt from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Wisconsin Rapids. Long time podcast listener. I got a question. With the new hymnal coming out soon, has anybody done a review of how playback works on it? We currently use HymnSaw with a MIDI interface to our organ, and I can't seem to find any documentation or any instructions on how it's going to work with the new hymnal software that Northwestern's putting out. They only give me just the service pointer information. I know there's a playlist function, but there's not any documentation on it yet. I'm just curious how the MIDI interface is going to work with that with my current MIDI organ. Love listening to you guys. If anybody's got any tips or anything, or if someone could email me something regarding that, or a point of contact of someone I can call and talk to, like I used to be able to call and talk to, I believe his name was Carl, way back when. So anyway, God bless everybody, and happy 2021. Working through the quarantine. Yep. Well, I'm not quarantined, so I'm considered an essential worker. So as you can hear, I'm driving down the road. So that's when I listen to you guys.
Thanks, Alan. Good to hear from you. It's been a little bit, but thanks for the question. Unfortunately, the builder application has a player function, but what you get out of the player function is downloadable MP3s and then a third-party media player. The MIDI files that had been available in the past, I think, were mostly homegrown and kind of incorporated after that. So we're not exactly sure. And I say I am part of the technology subcommittee for the Hymnal project. So we're still kind of working out some of the details, but it's unclear whether there will be MIDI files at least produced as part of the official Hymnal project. So you may just want to keep that in mind moving forward. We recognize that there is playlist functionality that's desirable, especially for teachers in classrooms. I know they use that a lot. So we wanted to make sure that we accounted for that. And so we're still going to be doing that. But the MIDI piece, a little bit cloudier. So not necessarily definitive information, but wanted to share at least what I knew.
Good stuff. Heard it from a Hymnal committee member. So there you go. Right. We have a segment called Wells Now, Martin.
We do.
And we're going to talk just briefly about the Wells Annual Report, which was recently released. You can actually read it all online. There's a downloadable PDF, or you can even request a copy be mailed to you. I was super excited to see it and to see some really neat things that have happened in the midst of a pandemic,
right,
in this past year. So God has blessed our church body tremendously, and we're so thankful for that. And it's just a neat opportunity to kind of recap that and, say our prayers of thanksgiving. So
yep,
check out the annual
something
report.
Something definitely worth sharing with your fellow church members, especially those in the Wells. So it's great news. So very good. Well, we want to extend our thanks, as always, to Jason and Rachel for spending a little bit of time with us on this snowy Tuesday afternoon. Appreciate your insights and all the great stuff you do on the show and the goodness that you bring. So thanks again for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
You're most welcome, and thanks for putting up with having both of us at the same time.
Oh, you're easy to put up with, Rachel.
Thanks. Notice how he said you're easy to put up with, Rachel.
And
I'm just gonna point that out really quickly.
No, we love every minute of both you guys. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right. That's going to about do it for the show this week. We have a bunch of interviews lined up. We've been busy talking with lots of people, Sally. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be playing those and some awesome topics. I think next week we'll also jump back into our review of the book, The Post-Quarantine Church. So you'll want to tune in for that as well. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Bring a friend next time, and blessings. We'll talk to you soon.